Hello, this is Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to have an opportunity to begin a Bible study on what is called the Articles of Faith. Now, the Articles of Faith are a very important part of what you might say just becoming familiar with the basics of what the Bible teaches. These are basic Bible doctrines. However, the first premise of any of the Articles of Faith is that faith in Christ and service to God is not based on any articles of faith. Rather, the articles of faith tell us in and of themselves that where we look to find truth and the standard for truth is from the Scriptures. So that's what that we start with, and you'll see on this is that the first study starts out with the Scriptures. And you're going to see how that these references that we have from the Scriptures informs us of the source of the Scriptures. And so I want to invite you to study along with us, invite you to not only take a consideration of this study, but of others which accompany it. There's a lot of research or a lot of written materials which accompany this, and other sermons which that address these subjects. And you can find all those. I'm going to step out of the way so you can see the website here. This website is called the Fisher of Men Baptistic .com, and you'll see the way that is written, it's Fisher of Men, as in one Fisher, there's no S there, Fisher of Men, and then Baptistic, like Baptist, both the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. And at that site, you can find a number of associated materials which allow you to go in and study these topics in more depth. And you'll see, like in this study tonight, or I said you may be watching this in the day. I happen to be recording it in the evening. But as you'll see on this, these recordings are normally, their length in time is close to 30 minutes, and I have more than what I can address in 30 minutes. So there'll be you have to do some independent study on your own to go ahead and cover the verses which are listed here. I intend to start with what's listed on the left-hand side, and then, as time permits, move to the right-hand side. And, as I said, with these resources that are provided at this Fisher of Men Baptistic site, you'll be able to find all of this brought out, and the Scriptures will be provided there at this place as well. So we'll start by going to the Lord in prayer. Invite you to join us in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up our study by beginning reading here in the book of Isaiah. Just where you can then, and you'd like to join with me, let us pray. Gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your great many blessings you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful for your watch, care, and protection over us. Thank you, Lord, for your great guidance and direction. Forgive us, Father, our sins and shortcomings, and help us that we might walk in the path of truth and be such, Lord, that we know we can't be on our own. Help us that we would be granted to stand and stand where you'd have us to be. We are thankful again, O God, that through the great mercy of God, you've allowed us to come to this point in our lives, to be able to travel this far down life's journey. We know not how far that the journey may lie ahead, but Father, we ask you that all along this journey that you'd ever help us to be close to thee, our God. Keep our hearts, direct our minds. Let us, Lord, be such that you'd be pleased with us. Help us, Father, in this study and the series of studies that will accompany it, that the things which are addressed would truly be the most beneficial to those who might hear them. Help us, Lord, to be thoroughly prepared in the Word of God and share those things which become sound doctrine. That, Lord, by the company of the Holy Spirit of God, that those who might hear and consider would know indeed that what we talk about and the things that we address are not the words of men, not our own personal thoughts or personal considerations on these vital subjects, but that indeed it's the word of thee, our God, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in accompanying your word. Take now, use, forgive us again our sins and shortcomings. We know we fail to ask many things, but fail not to grant. But we do seek all favors and blessings in Christ Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, we want to read some scriptures, and we'll start reading from the, as we have listed here, out of the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is in the middle of the scriptures, or toward the middle of the Bible, right before the book of Psalms. When you flip the Bible open toward the middle of it, you come pretty close to Isaiah, Psalms. If you come to Psalms, Isaiah's after Psalms. You want to turn to the 30th chapter, and I'm just going to read a few verses of Scripture here. Begin with the first verse. We're going to see how that what we're considering points out rebellion. And this rebellion is towards the will of God. So as we read this, we're going to come across some points or a point that tells us in the middle of all of this about the importance of God's Word, of the Word of God. So listen to this and consider this point as it's made in the Scriptures. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be their shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches unto the shoulders, or upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. I see in this, and I hope that you pick up in this, that in this portion of Isaiah, God is indeed speaking of the rebellion of his people, in this case, the people of Israel, this people who had this close relationship. We realize from the Scriptures in the book of Isaiah that the writings of the prophet Isaiah are before that Christ was born into the world, before the Immaculate Conception and the wonderful birth of Christ Jesus into the world. And at that time, there was a relationship between Israel and God that through this people, as God had spoken and entered into what the Scriptures describes for us as a covenant, there was a covenant relationship between Abraham and God. Isaiah wrote about this. But in this relationship between God and Abraham, there would be a child that would be born through the offspring, through the family of Abraham. And in this special relationship that Israel shared with God, we find that Israel was of a rebellious nature toward God. And in noting this and describing, putting down doctrine, making it steadfast, God says how that he is going to preserve this, and he's going to keep this. And I notice again in the last verse that we read, it says, now go, write it before them in a table, noted in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. The Word of God is such that God had this recorded and settled so that it wouldn't be changed, but that it would be a document. It would be something that was recorded, and the intent is, once recorded, it's always the same. You put it down and you write it down, and when that ink dries on the page, then it don't change. It's pinned down so that the generations to come can see it and read it and know what was said and have an accurate account of what was said back then. So we notice that purpose described for us, God expressing that purpose here through the prophet Isaiah. And on these verses, on this left-hand side of the board, we're going to see that pattern repeated over and over again. How that God intended that through his written word, that his thoughts would be pinned down and that they would be preserved. It would be for a purpose. Not that it could be changed, not giving anybody the opportunity to edit it, but that it would be forever settled, that it would always be the same. We'll read the next verse of Scriptures out of the book of Psalms this time, the book of Psalms before the book of Isaiah. And in Psalms, we're turning to the 119th division of Psalms, sometimes refer to what some might call chapters. They're actually divisions. Here, this is the 119th division. There are a number of verses in this portion of God's Word. But the 89th verse of this 119th division of Psalms says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Here, this verse of Scripture calls our attention to the documents, you might say, as we look at this, the Bible. We see all of the letters, you see all of the pages of the Bible. And what this is a record of a document of what that God had men to write down and pin down, as we'll read in on the right-hand side of the board, how this was given. And as it was pinned down and recorded, I have a copy here I'm holding in my hand that has all of these words recorded on it. But then there is another copy, the master copy, and it's forever settled in heaven. The Word of God, though we might decide we don't like what this book says and decide that we want to change it and edit it, or maybe just go and write our own book, it doesn't change that copy that God has got, that Word that's settled in heaven. And we really believe that this is the English translation of that Word. And God intended that He was going to preserve it and keep it so that we would have it, so we would have an accurate account of what He has shared with us, so we can know the truth. God does not desire, the Scripture says, God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. To be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thy word, O God, is settled forever in heaven. And we have this, that we can know what that word is. The next verse of Scripture is over in the book of Revelation, and you're going to see a theme repeated over and over. I don't mean to belabor the point, but just to demonstrate that through the Word of God, we have this record of how that God intended His purpose is that we can have a copy of His Word, that we know the truth, and as the Scripture says, and then in knowing the truth, that the truth could make you free. And the Lord said, because He abides forever, if He makes us free, then we are free indeed. That we can know the truth, then the truth would make us free. And as He makes us free, then we are freed indeed. Okay, so in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 11, the Scripture says this. The Apostle John, out on the Isle of Patmos, he had been banished there. And as he was banished there, him saying that on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. And he heard this great voice behind him, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write it in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Hear God's word being delivered, and what was God's will, write it in a book, and then do what with it? Give it to the seven churches in Asia. Take the word, write it down. When you have it written down, give it to the churches. And the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is the one who has been commanded to go and preach the word. Preach the word. Teach it. Make sure that people are made disciples from it. Take those disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. But when God gave this vision, when God shared this information with John there, he wanted it to be shared with the churches. What form was it to be shared in? In the written word. Write it down, verse 11 says. What thou seest, write in a book. Send it. Send it to the churches. Notice here another reference out of the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we're going to look at chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 7, notice the verse here is verse 14. So Exodus 7:14 says, and this is the Lord talking about how that the people were of a specific kind of nature. And then in putting this down, he says to write the book, and I see that I wrote my reference down wrong here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move from this reference in Exodus 7. I hope that, I know that's going to leave some confusion, but evidently I wrote my reference down wrong. So rather than just going ahead and belabor the point here and wasting precious time because I have miswrote or cited this incorrectly, I'm going to move on to the book of Deuteronomy. So looking at the book of Deuteronomy then in chapter 17, I'm going to look at chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. And I guess this is a good example of how that you know that I'm being authentic with you because I'm not going back and correcting that. There's a reference right here that refers to the writings of the book that it could be settled forever. But I wrote down the wrong reference, so I am going to move on to chapter 17. And in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, the scripture says this, and this is verse 18, verses 18 through 20. Scripture says, "And it shall be, when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom," this is referring to the king, and how that God wanted to be sure that the king had the instructions to follow. And God wanted to be sure that the ones who are in leadership positions, that they had exactly what it is that God had shared with them. And having what God had shared with them, that they would be able to then pass on the proper judgment that God had have to be passed on to the people. Because God has provided and given instruction, and he wanted that to be followed. So, what is it that he used in making sure that they had the accurate account before the people? And he said, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So here we find the way that the word was to be shared and to be kept current. To be, and when I say current, it's not like it needed updated, but to keep it present, to ensure that it was always there. And that was to take a copy of what that God had delivered. What this, the reference out of Ezekiel or of Exodus, what it refers to is how that God said to write down in a book. He was speaking to Moses. In that reference that I put the wrong verses down, I'm suspicious, not thinking, rather than going and checking and changing time, I'm suspicious that I didn't write the chapter down incorrectly. But what God had said there in Moses, or to Moses, was to write it down for a memorial. Take what God has said, write it down, and it will be for a memorial, something to be remembered, something to be covered. And then to the kings, take this that was to be written down for a memorial. Take a copy of it. Take an accurate copy of it and read it and study it all the days of your life. And then it will benefit you to prolong your existence, prolong the existence of your family there in the kingdom. So we see what God has chosen, how that he has chosen the written word to deliver it and then keep it there present in front of mankind so that we'd have an accurate copy. Again, because God says he'd have everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, now I want to move to the right-hand side of the board, and here we get into how God has shared his word with mankind. In the first reference, many who that are following along may see this reference and say, "Oh yeah, I recognize 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very familiar scriptures on the subject of these scriptures and studying the origin of the Word of God. These scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So what does this scripture say? It tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This whole book has been given by the inspiration of God. God inspired this. He's the one who gave us these words, working through people who that were his men, people who that were his followers, people who that when God gave them the word, they were faithful to pin it down, just like what we have here. Just like what you read with Revelation, what I've shown you, write it down and send it to the churches. So we have the accurate account. Next off, we want to read in the book of Peter. And I notice here in 2 Peter, I want to go to this one. I'm going to move over from Samuel and go straight to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. What this scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1 said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I think these verses are so important in helping us see that the Word of God was not just the opinion of men, not just something that was schemed up. A lot of times you'll hear that, especially the writings of the Apostle Paul. I've heard the Apostle Paul accused of all sorts of things, everything from being a sexist to being racist to being just a number of things that Paul is accused of. Well, what Paul did, he was one of these holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and the scriptures which that we received from him was not of any private interpretation. This was not something that Paul just came up with. The books that are in the Bible, that are the letters that are in the Bible, which Paul penned, were given by inspiration of God. He's one of these holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And because of his willingness to yield and to follow after, these impressions, this inspiration of God, we have the letters which that he recorded. And through that means, God intended for us to have an accurate copy of his will so that we would be able to understand his will and it would be fulfilled. Excuse the rhyme there. His will fulfilled. But it'd be fulfilled what that God would have to happen to occur, and God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. And he shared his word with us so that this could take place. And no doubt the immediate work of God, the immediate work of the Spirit of God interacting with us is the reality of God and God's presence. I mean, it all comes together, but it's through his word that he's given us this, like the scriptures teach us, I just read it, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so that we'd know exactly what God's will is and be able to understand it through what God has written. Next off, we'll go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, what we're turning to, we're reading from the scriptures again about how important the Word of God is and how that the scripture has been given to us. As men were moved by the Holy Ghost, God used men who are willing to yield themselves unto God. So we're going to read again. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 16, as is written here on my board. It says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Now notice how it says that this scripture was given. It says that this scripture was given. This scripture, he says, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. So Peter's referring to specific scripture, and he's saying this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. So the Holy Ghost we see speaking by a mouth. By whose mouth? By the mouth of David. So the Holy Ghost moving, speaking by the mouth of David, we have yet another example of inspiration of God, holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men being God using human instrumentality to convey his word to mankind. And as we already read on the left-hand side of the board, these references revealed or helped us see that God wanted that penned down, wanted it written. That is his will. The things which, like this scripture that Peter's referred to, that was given as the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. I'm going to back up again. Now here we see in Acts chapter 3, Acts 3:21. Acts chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us, as we flip there to read that, speaking of Christ, it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Okay, so we have God speaking. How did God speak? Well, this scripture says, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. So we have God doing the speaking, again using human instrumentality as he spake by these prophets. So again, we have the information from God's word sharing with us how that this word came about and how that we received this Bible and why that we should be confident that indeed this is God's word. And as you hear this explained and have the truth brought to you from the scriptures, from the Bible, the Holy Spirit accompanies it and brings it into our hearts and confirms that this is not just a man speaking ideas, sharing thoughts, but rather doing the work of God, sharing God's word, and as the Spirit accompanies that word, you can rest assured that what's being given is just that, God's word. As the Spirit brings it into our hearts, you can hear voices and it'll touch your ears, but when it starts getting down into your spirit, down into your heart, reaching within, then you know, wait a minute, now, that's the truth. Here is God's word. Because its source and its origin is from God, the Spirit bears witness with it, accompanies it, and as it accompanies it, we find that it is a quickened word or a living word that is sharper and powerful, more sharp and more powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very secrets and the intents of the heart. That's God's word, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 4. One last reference, as our time gets away from us, and this is over in Hebrews in chapter 1. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read verse 1. And this tells us again, just reconfirms what we've already considered, just gives us one more verse. And that's it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So here we have God speaking in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, God speaking by the prophets, and then during the personal ministry of Christ in the world, he has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. Christ brought the word, and as he brought this message, he brought it from God. And we have it in the Gospels. We have it recorded, what Christ taught. And he's bringing us God's word. And it's recorded, written, for a memorial that we can then copy. And we're to keep it accurate. We're not to change it or to put our opinion in it, but to keep an accurate copy. And then studying that and sharing that, we can fulfill that being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Not saying that someone can study themselves into soul salvation, but having repented to God with faith toward Jesus Christ to find soul salvation, then being saved, we can go on and study God's Word to come to the knowledge of the truth. I hope this has been fruitful. I hope this study has been helpful. If so, thank the Lord for that, because he's the one we look to for our help and for our guidance, that we might be prepared and be able to share something that would be indeed helpful. Thank you for tuning in. Again, we want to invite you to continue studying in this series and hope that you get a great blessing out of it. Pray for the work. Pray for this, not only this study, but for the others to come. We'll be careful to pray for you as well. Remember me and mine. Now pray for you and yours. Thank you again. This is Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Again, thanking you for studying with us.